Feel the Real. Feel the Real with Dave Malone.
The ground beneath my feet, I know was made for me. There is no any one place where I belong. My spirit's meant to be free, and soon now everyone will see. Life was made for us to be what we wanna be. And then it's your world. Yours and yours and yours is what you see. What's not meant for me is your world. But you don't have to be lonely, cause in your world you are truly free. The thoughts that fill my mind are a very special kind, because they're home to me and me alone. And then I realize that we all have a home inside. Was meant for us to be what we wanna be. And it's your world. It's yours and yours and yours and what you see. What's not meant for me is your world. But you don't have to be lonely, cause in your world you are truly free.
This has come up again with guests before, where the situation where in terms of, you know, obviously music consumption has changed a great deal now, and the art of promoting tunes is a lot far different than it used to be, didn't it? Where in the old days, if you like, X amount of whites were pressed, pushed out to certain DJs, the hype was made, and then you could sell the units.
Yeah. Well, there was a chain of command.
But yeah. That doesn't exist today.
No, it doesn't.
Now, does it? So
no.
It's harder to... I say harder. Obviously, there's different ways of media promotion, but I mean...
Everything, you know, there's a lot of visual. The internet is just... It's like McDonald's, really, isn't it, Dave? You can get it. There's no craft. You know what I mean? It's not about the DJ getting the promo and the promo getting played and the customers, the punters, wanting to buy it. But there's none of that anymore. People can just get it.
Yeah.
You know, they've got it.
Yeah.
They can get it.
What about the resurrection of all this vinyl?
I've said all along, you know, I've had this conversation with a couple of people. It's a new thing. You know, I mean, the kids coming through now actually know what records are, which is quite an important thing, because, you know, if you go to the generation maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, they didn't even know what vinyl was.
Yeah.
What is a record player? You know, is this black thing that spins around, you know? Now the kids know what it is. It's quite trendy. It's quite good. When you've got the likes of Tesco stocking vinyl, you've got to kind of raise a bit of a brow and think, okay.
Yeah.
In between the coleslaw, then you've got the vinyl.
I must admit, I know some of the guys, the shops that still do exist are I charge you X amount. I mean, I know these shops have got to make a profit anyway, but some of these repressings, though, are quite
unbelievable.
Ridiculously expensive.
Well, the thing is, I was in Barcelona a couple of years ago, and the whole vinyl thing in Spain has been big for a long time. It's never really gone.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, you could go in, and we're talking, a lot of it is the kind of the classics, the Pink Floyds and the kind of the 10cc and those things. And we know new music's getting pressed on vinyl, we know that, but the real truth of the matter is it's never really gonna it's there, you know, I mean, it's there, people will buy it, it's quite a trendy thing, and I think it'll keep going for a little while, but the thing is, you know, you're not gonna pay like 35-40 euros for an album, do you know what I'm saying? 25 quid, who's gonna pay that for an album? It's
I mean, I think that's what I say. I think some of the youngsters are getting ripped off a little bit, but hopefully it'll reignite a bit of a passion to start digging again. You know,
all for vinyl. You know, vinyl's a very big part of all of our lives, and I'm lucky enough to say that I never ever did sell any of my vinyl. I know.
Have you still got quite a lot?
I've got all my vinyl. Yeah, I've never got rid of any of it. I wouldn't, but a lot of people have got rid of it, and there's a lot of people who regret doing that.
Yeah.
You know, when I speak to people now that have started recollecting their vinyl again.
Yeah.
Why sell it? Why? Why get rid of it? Why?
Well, I must confess myself, I think I've sold about, just under £500 worth of my collection at one point. But,
that will live with you forever.
Well, I've got to say, I actually ended up going buying it back.
Dave, that's a great story. How much did you pay for it?
Probably more than I sold.
Yeah, I was going to say that, yeah.
I mean, I probably retrieved about sort of, one third to half of it in the end, you know, but crazy one, yeah. But it does become a bit of an addiction.
Look,
as we
the thing
before,
is, you know, we know we're all looking for the next thing, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, your vinyl's got your memories, and it's just what it is, you know. I mean, you should not get rid of your vinyl.
There's a certain time, certain period.
You know, I mean, what is the point? Is it about the money side of it? Is it about the space side of it?
Yeah.
Don't sell it.
Yeah.
Don't sell it. In fact, buy more. Buy more.
Boom. You're becoming back to the pusher.
Now back to the pusher. I'm the pusher man. You need this. You've got to have this. You've heard that a few times, Dave, haven't you? First time tonight, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Actually, you had a few famous sayings. I will bring them up briefly.
Snooze, you lose.
Snooze, you lose.
Yeah.
What was the other one? I remember once sifting through the racks, and I just hear you come out with something like, you'll find that in the natural history museum.
Yeah.
And another classic line, I think, which has still stuck with me all these years, was the other one, Rarest Rocking Horse.
Rarest Rocking Horse. Well, next up, we've got, what can we say, the OJs. And a track called My Favourite Person. Another Steppers special.
No, that's a big one,
Beautiful track, and I love it so much.
My favorite girl. my favorite town is New York.
New York.
Mm-hmm. My favorite time is the nighttime.
Nighttime.
And when it comes to dessert, it's mom's good old apple pie. And when it comes to loving,
you're the one I desire. Out of all the people in the world, you're my favorite person.
Good atmosphere, I thought, in there actually, and I said good exposure in the Blues and Soul magazine. I thought,
saying
the fact that all the prime DJs are all using,
I must say, big respect to John Assinger, who passed a couple of weeks ago. Johnny Assinger used to come in, he was the editor of the advertising guy, mm-hmm. at Blues and Soul, and he was a lovely bloke. And unfortunately, he died a couple of weeks ago,
right.
And I used to do something called Dave's Dozen.
Yeah, I remember.
And I used to put like a dozen records in the back of the magazine, and in the 80s, and it was pretty good. It was all about timing.
Yeah,
you had to put things in there that were just about to land.
Mm-hmm.
Now sometimes things backfired on you. I put a Stevie Wonder album in there once, mm-hmm. and the magazine landed on, I can't remember what day it came out. I think it might have been a Friday, Thursday or Friday or something like that. Anyway, so I've advertised this Stevie Wonder album, and I'm getting all this mail order coming through because we had to get the advert in like a week before it went. You actually got it.
Effectively,
you're really looking at, there's no point in putting stuff in that you had just come out, because it would be a week old.
Yeah.
So you had to get stuff that was 2 weeks in advance, which would effectively be just coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a Stevie Wonder album in there, and it was I can't remember what album it was, but it was, everyone was screaming for it. Everyone.
Yeah.
And I was getting mail order coming in from all over the world, and because they'd seen the advert, and it was meant to come in on the Monday.
Yeah.
The magazine landed on the Friday, and they pulled the release date about 3 weeks. So I've got all this mail order, and they want their Stevie Wonder album, and they've pulled the release date.
Wow.
So I couldn't dispatch. Look, it was okay, it's life, but you know, in order to try and get the jump on other people, you have to be one step ahead of the time, and it works most of the time for us.
Yeah, I mean, that was a gift in itself. Preempting supply and demand, for certain tracks,
Yeah, definitely, and you know, it kind of...
Did you ever get, you know, where you wish you'd had more?
I think so. I think when you've got the little independent things, and you know, sometimes when you get short shipped means that you would order X amount of copies, but you'd only get like a tenth of what you ordered.
Yeah, that's not Cockney slang, by the way.
No, short shipped, yeah, hand drawn and short shipped. No, so let's just say you ordered 50 or something, then suddenly you'd only get 15 of it.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, help. You know, what am I going to do? Again, we're getting back to that whole thing, who's going to get the copies?
Yeah.
It was very much a now thing.
Yeah.
A lot of it was like working in a fruit and veg store. Everyone wants the crispy new apples.
Yeah.
They don't want the apples that are a week old.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But again, though, there was a lot of good music that sold regularly.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I think we got it about right. But it's like anything, you know, you do the best you can.
Yeah, excellent, yeah.
A little bit of an unusual one, and I do realise around the kind of jazz dealers, this was going for a lot of money.
Yeah.
I know, you know, I've got friends like John Armstrong, Brad Chamberlain, people like that, who they were saying that this was going for big bucks. A record by Penny Goodwin and a track called Too Soon You're Old, which is just, it's so good. It starts off as just like it's almost like a ballad, then it just builds up into this Latin beat. Such a good record.
Excellent.
Really love it as well.
Take no rights from any strangers. Watch out, watch out, watch out for the worthless few. Don't socialize with fancy guys. They'll leave you from the start. Or soon you're old, too late for getting smart. Take your time before you climb to grab that shining star. Soon you're old, too late, too late, too late in getting small. Drop some acid, go to paradise. Wake up, find the devil standing there. You know you paid the price. You
thing I'm going to bring up is, which came up earlier on when we were talking about it, the, you know, when the music genres were starting to sort of change or switch, you know.
Things did split,
You know, which everyone's, which has come up a few times with various guests that have been on, the fact that you had this kind of dedicated black soul music following, if you like, in a lot of the underground clubs and all the rest of it. But then when the earliest forms of house started getting introduced, and what were the first tracks that started appearing?
Well, it was, I really remember this particular situation very, very well, and it was a Friday. And sorry, it was on a Thursday. It wasn't a Friday, it was a Thursday. I remember it really well, it was a Thursday. And Jeff Young came in the store. And Young, he said to me, you know, what's in? Is there anything really hot, you know, for the show tonight? I said, well, look, I've got this, and he said, okay, good, we'll give that a quick listen. And I said, I've got these couple of 12 inches that have just come out of the States. But they're a bit different. They're a little bit strange. They're kind of like high energy disco. And one of them was Fingers Inc, Mysteries of Love.
Right.
And the other one was Chippy Like This.
Yeah.
And that they're obviously kind of first type of house things that are, well, you know, that people, aficionados are obviously going to disagree with me and say that there was other records that come before them. But these were the first, you know, two big things that we got quite, you know, we got a little amount of them, and Jeff said to me, you really want to give these to Pete Tong, you know, he'd take them. I mean, he'd obviously got tipped off by Rocky Jones, who was kind of the label manager, and Chippy record was a big record Like This. Fingers Inc, Mysteries of Love is just a great record.
Yeah,
the whole Larry Heard thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Jeff kind of was into them, he knew about them. And he said, look, Pete's going to want these as well. And, you know, and that, I never forget that. And, you know, then obviously Pete really got into them and he started playing them.
Yeah.
And then the Tracks stuff started coming in, the Marshall Jefferson stuff. And
Jungle Chicago stuff.
And, you know, I also remember that the quality of the vinyl was really pretty bad.
Right.
It was really crackly.
Yeah.
And it just suddenly this wave of new music started coming, and a record label started releasing records every Friday, and the name of the record label is Strictly Rhythm.
Right. Yeah.
And there was two records that come every single Friday from Strictly Rhythm, and they were, I remember Gladys Pizarro come in the store, and you know, she was the co-founder of Strictly Rhythm.
Yeah.
And the first couple of records were Logic, The Warning.
Right, yeah.
Underground Solution, Love Dancing.
Yeah.
They're good records. That was Roger S was on that one.
Yeah.
And you know, there were some really good records, and they were fusing that disco and the house.
Yeah.
And it all started just fusing together. And then suddenly we've kind of gone through this kind of boogie era.
Yeah.
Where we were getting a lot of these really kind of good records, but that they were moving up, the tempo was getting faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we were starting to get a real split. So you had your,
this is not just the musically, but also DJs. your punters, well, punters DJs and punters, in the same shot.
So you had Chris Hill,
who
was a customer of ours, Bob Jones, people like that who were just like, whoa, we're going to stick with the soul stuff here.
Yeah.
And respect to them for doing that.
Yeah.
Then you had your Pete Tongs, your Paul Oakenfolds, your Colin Hudds, and they're like, whoa, hold on, there's a whole new era here, you know.
Yeah.
We've suddenly got then Danny Rampling's doing his thing.
Yeah.
Danny, brilliant, you know, I mean, and Jazzy M, you know, an absolute pioneer of the house stuff. And they're doing their things, and we've really got a split going on here.
Yeah.
And then in the background, you've got some jungle stuff coming through as well, and drum and bass.
Yeah, this would have been about Ray's pit time. Yeah,
Ray Keith, Ray. And so everything's splitting. Then you've got the soul boys who just want to kind of play soul music, and it's all going.
Yeah.
It's like walking down the road and having all these tennis balls thrown at you. They're just coming from everywhere. And you just got a real split of things.
It's funny because you can look back at it now and laugh, really. But at the time, it was quite serious, wasn't it?
Well, the thing was,
the issue of where your allegiances should be.
Because you're trying to support the UK scene.
Yeah.
And you've got you know, likes of like Mike Carr from Cargo, who was like a jazz guy, a really, really talented jazz guy, and he was making 12-inch records, and they just weren't selling any.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just selling like two copies out of the store, and it was a real shame. He was spending all this money. He was performing at Ronnie Scott's, doing his stuff, and they just weren't selling. And and it's just, it really did change.
Yeah.
Everything changed. Everything really changed.
Yeah. I mean, you would think it should, musically, it should be all encompassing, but I mean, you can see that now, but I suppose at the time...
It's tribal, Dave. Pure tribal. Everybody's got their own genre, and you had Chris, who was El Mafioso Soul Man, and then you had other people that were slightly more the young blood.
Yeah.
That were coming through, and, you know, you had Nicky, you had Trevor, you had Paul, and they're kind of... They're all doing their own thing. You got Danny with the whole Shoom thing.
Yeah.
And everything's changing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's exciting.
Overcome it then in the end, or how was it? I mean, because I know the shop moved eventually, didn't it?
Was this
during that period or just after that?
This was a bit further on we moved.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? We moved kind of around about 19... Must have been about 92.
Existed, in the early 70s originally? In
yeah, we were originally... Johnny started City Sounds in 1972.
Wow, yeah.
Long time, isn't it?
You arrived early 80s?
I arrived 83.
Right, yeah.
Unfortunately, we closed their doors in 2005.
Well, it was a long duration, really.
It was a long duration, and the only reason, you know, we couldn't continue was we physically, people were not buying physical products anymore.
Yeah.
Or if they were, we weren't getting a bigger slice of the action. I do know they're, you know.
So this was the first introduction of the sort of downloads and stuff. Music
the downloading was kind of, yeah, it killed it. You know, I mean, it's like anything. You know, if people can get things without having to, the buzz had gone. You mentioned it earlier on, the getting up at 7 a.m. to get to London,
yeah,
and to get there at 8:30 for that new record.
Yeah. I'm going to mention now briefly while you brought it up, but there's a certain track that I think you said you're not familiar with either, but I will certainly suggest you. It's by a guy called Earl Zinger, you know, the old Galliano.
Yes, yeah.
Called Saturday Morning Rush. Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you what, that was me.
Yeah, you were rushing about.
On Saturday morning.
Bacon sarnie in one hand and a cup of coffee in another.
As I was saying, there was no, to be ahead of the game, and I was quite. Because Ray was from Colchester as well, we were always in competition because Ray was obviously originally a soul boy.
Yeah,
stuff,
of course, yeah. He was. Yeah, Ray was.
So we were always in competition of trying to get these certain imports and records first, you know. But you know, my journey would start from sort of Suffolk, you know, early hours on Saturday to try and get up to Holborn for 9:30, 10 o'clock.
But you wanted the records, yeah.
And you wanted to be up there to get those tunes first. So
got
to
get them, yeah.
Pull away at midday to then make your way back, you know. You know, it's like a 4-hour, you know, potentially a 4-hour journey.
It's what,
you know,
it was, wasn't it?
A lot of dedication and effort to do that. I mean,
yeah,
it's quite laughable now when you think about it. People just purely download whatever tracks they like off the internet.
The thing is, it was a club thing. It was a tribal thing. It was a family thing. And
you would
bump into other DJs from other areas.
Well, it's obviously proved it, isn't it? I mean, because you think, look, I mean, I'm talking to you now 30 years later,
yeah,
but it's still, it definitely sort of set something that
I know
you
that
remember
a lot of other people,
fondly, you know.
A lot of people have said to me that they, you know, people would come from, I don't know, it's just used for argument's sake, they'd travel from Bexley Heath or Welling, and they'd bump into people that were DJing in Clacton or wherever, and they would say, well, look, if you could come to my club,
yeah,
you can do a gig there, and if, you know, maybe I can come to your club.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
they were just kind of, they were bumping into each other, and
yeah,
they were
yeah,
getting gigs out of it. It was
yeah,
very
yeah,
much like that, and, you know, they would, everyone, you know, it would be very tribal. It was very, very, everyone used to come at a certain time. You'd have kind of like, and I remember Groove Rider used to buy house records off me. Groove always used to turn up at 6:15 on a Saturday night, and it's like, Groove, I'm going home in a minute. And he would turn up, and he'd just want to buy a load of records off me. And it's like, Groove, I want to go home. Because Groove was a house DJ before he was drum and bass DJ.
Right.
And he just want to go home. He'd been yeah, busy all day, absolutely rocking. He just want to till up and go home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but you know, I mean, you'd get that, and it was like, oh, another one, Dave Durrell. Dave was another one. Dave used to turn up at 5 to 6,
yeah,
and Seb Fontaine,
right,
all them guys, because they were buying house records.
Yeah.
You know, I know they went on to do other things, but they would turn up really late, and it's like, no, I want to go home. Because you know, once they got in the store, you weren't getting out till 7 o'clock.
Yeah, but they spend
money. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
you've
yeah,
done that, and you know, it's,
yeah,
that's. But it was great. I'd
yeah,
never change it. It was a lovely vibe. A record I know you bought off me, Dave, an album by a lady called Carmen Lundy.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
do you
yeah,
remember a track called The Lamp Is Low?
Yeah.
There you go. You've cut a few moves to that one, Dave, haven't you?
Well, I was just about... my own little picture on that one is, as I was mentioning to you earlier on, Snowboard played at this local
pub
with this chap, Roger Hotel,
yeah,
with his wife, does a fantastic version of that.
Glow. the land is low.
Bring up just briefly, you mentioned there occasionally it might have been a Saturday night or Friday night, you said you used to end up in the VIP in Flicks or something.
Oh yeah
after work.
Well, the thing was, I bought a flat in Dartford and it was really near Flicks. Okay, so I'd finish work, it'd normally be a Thursday actually, so I wouldn't really be going out on a Thursday or a Friday. I'd be going home because I've been busy all day, and I'd kind of walk past the club to get kind of home. Yeah. And Tom Holland or Colin Hudd or whoever would be DJing would be hanging outside the door, and they'd see me. and they'd like drag me in. It sounds a bit silly, but this is generally what happened.
Really?
And I'd say, look, guys, you know, I'm wearing jeans, I'm sweating, I've come from work. Oh, come on, Dave, you know, because they wanted me to bring them records back, didn't they? That's what they were after. That's really where they were up to.
You're right.
Anyway, I just wanted to go home and kind of have a large glug of Jack Daniels and just collapse out and get ready for the next
the
day.
Weekend or
for
whatever,
the weekend, because, you know, obviously, Saturday was a busy day for us.
Yeah, well, anyway, I was getting ready to come up.
Yeah, you were all getting ready. You kind of like, you were in your pyjamas and you were having a sleep. You were up early in the morning. Anyway, so I got dragged in the club and kind of, they'd shuffle me up the back because I'd have jeans on, and you're not meant to go in clubs with jeans on, but
oh,
I was just wearing jeans. Anyway, I got around the back and they just plied me with alcohol all night, which was really quite nice. And I crawl out of there quite late in my work clothes with kind of like my work bag on my shoulder and crawl back home.
Yeah, and then you got four or five hours sleep,
and suddenly I'm up for work the next morning thinking, shoot, you know, I mean, my head's banging like a barn door. But yeah, that was good fun. Flix was a really special place for me. I love Flix.
Yeah.
Colin Hudd, John Rush, Cosmic, Jeff, Robbie, they, Tom Holland, you know, they all done a great job there. It was a really, really good place.
Yeah.
And, you know, earlier on, just before we, you know, we're kind of doing the interview and everything, now we were talking about Bobby Womack.
Yeah.
And I know you've got a story about Bobby Womack, haven't you, Dave?
Yeah, I just want to I'm going to bring it up again. I mean, I remember buying this special white from yourself many, many moons ago. And it was essentially, it's a 20-minute live version of Bobby Womack, Trust Your Heart.
Yeah. But, a lot of these things we used to get out of New York and, you know, what would happen, people go in a studio and they record something and it wouldn't actually get released on their record label.
Mm-hmm.
So effectively what would happen is some of the studio engineers would have the original master recordings of these and they would just surface and press them and they would come out and, you know, there would maybe only be 500 copies in the whole world. We would get a chunk of them and, you know, the lucky few would get hold of this. Mm. And you're obviously one of the lucky few, Dave. I do remember it, actually. The reason I mentioned Bobby Womack is, you know, there's a record that really, another one that's just special to me and it just gives, you know, just tingles down my spine. And it's a track by Bobby Womack called How Could You Break My Heart?
Oh, yeah.
So good. Again, just such a good record.
Yeah, classic, yeah.
Really, really good. I just love the whole Bobby Womack thing.
Let me sing my song. Shut me up. Life is so amazing. Funny how time brings about change. And just to think that you swore you love me, baby, now you're giving that thing to another man. Down.
you like? What DJs did you respect in those early? I mean, who were you most inspired by? Really, I mean,
DJ-wise, I think I used to really enjoy listening to Greg Edwards.
Right, yeah.
Soul Spectrum thing was great. Obviously, Robbie on Radio London.
Yeah.
Jeff Young. I think Mike Allen, who, you know, we had quite a few Capital Radio guys coming in, but Mike Allen never used... He was linked into Groove Records, which was a brilliant record store in Soho, Greek Street. Mike, I think Mike had a great radio voice. Unfortunately, he passed about 2 months ago as well, Mike Allen. Who else? Tony Monson, absolute legend of a soul DJ. He's brilliant, old Otis.
Still going, still
good old Otis. Still cracking on.
Yeah.
He's a lovely guy, Tony. Yeah, yeah. Really, really good guy. Still doing his stuff.
I mean, artist-wise, have you ever had it? I mean, I know, again, it's probably impossible for you to pull some of it.
I really like... There's certain... I love the whole... Ronnie Laws, Hubert Laws, Deborah Laws thing.
Right, the jazz fusion thing.
Yeah, I like that. I think, you know, I really like Judy Roberts. I've not mentioned Johnny Taylor tonight. You know, What About My Love? I really love that Johnny Taylor record. You know, we've not even mentioned Chapter 8 and the Beverly Glenn label.
Some
really good stuff there. But there's so many good records and good memories, and you know, people that, you know, Roy Ayres has been in the store a few times.
Yeah,
you know, you got to admire Roy Ayres is really good. Frankie Beverly, I love the whole Slave thing as well, the Steve Arrington in Slave, and that was, you know, very special.
Yeah
That stuff, really, really good. Another record, again, I'm reading these records, they're just so good and mean so much to me. Rosie Gaines in a track called Crazy. You know, I've got the 7-inch at home, and it's a big Robbie track, and I think Pete Young played it as well. I know Andy Peebles played it as well.
Uh-huh.
But a track called Crazy, it's a really good record.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
For the first time I feel like a woman. I never knew love could feel this way. You got me going, baby. You got me going crazy. What should I do?
brilliant. Actually, now I've just spotted one thing, the bootleg series he did.
Bootlegs, Dave? right, okay.
No, it was just those special whites that you did for a while.
We had a few DJ only, not for resale records.
That's right.
Vintage on vinyl, and soul on vinyl. Very impressed with those. Some good stuff, really, really good gear.
I've heard whispers you're bringing them out.
Really? Okay. But, you know, getting back to, you know, it's just been a pleasure, you know, being involved in the whole thing, and it's just lovely. It's really, really good.
No, it's nice to hear, because, like I say, you've only just recently sort of started to socialise with a few of the old friends and contacts again.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I kind of went underground for probably 7 or 8 years I closed the store down.
Just kind of touching back on that again. The reason really was that the decision was made not to invest or attempt to invest. The markup wasn't there.
My partner Johnny and I, we'd put money in, and you know, when the downloading thing was becoming a lot more apparent, it really was. I suppose it's a little bit like paddling against the tide.
Yeah.
You're working a lot harder. You're selling a lot less, but the price of your overheads are going up. And you have to be realistic about things.
Yeah.
And it come to the stage where it was unsustainable. Mm-hmm. And one of the directors towards the end, Tom Henenbury, Tom decided to kind of go and live in, I think it was Thailand he went out to, I'm not too sure. So he went, and it just left myself, Johnny, and a couple of other guys in the store. And I've got to give big praise to Rob Cockerton as well. He's a local lad. He works at City Sounds towards, you know, the last... He was there when we were really, really busy on the mail order, and Rob's a really good DJ in the Kent area.
Yeah.
He does a lot of local gigs. He's a really, 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 really good DJ.
Yeah.
Big respect to Rob and my good friend Paul Woods as well.
Yeah.
Paul Woods used to work at the store with Ray. Paul's a lovely guy. But, you know, the reason why we closed down was just purely... People weren't buying vinyl as much.
Yeah. Anyway,
I think there's certain record stores that are very bespoke, that are selling a lot of secondhand records, a lot of older records, and there will always be
that niche,
and there will always be people that want to buy stuff. There will always be collectors, but there's only enough room for so many of those type of stores.
Yeah.
And if you incorporate other things that you're running within the business as well, it's doable. I think Gary Dennis is doing a great job.
He
springs to mind, and I know Soul Brother are doing a great job as well, and I've got the utmost respect. But you know, us, Bluebird, Black Market, you know, Uptown, stores like that towards the end, we were going.
The overheads mainly, would you say?
You can't do it. You can't pay loads and loads of money for rent. You know what I mean? You're just not taking the money.
Okay, but so obviously you pulled away and then you started. Because what made you decide to sort of change? What made you get into your industry? Like, or you just had a. Did you take some time out?
Well, the thing was, no. You know, I could see this coming, and you can appreciate this as well, Dave. If, you know, if you've got like a family to support and you've got a mortgage, you've really got to kind of man up and work where you're going. And for me, you know, what have I ever wanted to do? You know, I wanted to be a professional golfer. Then I went down the music route. That was it. I do not have a trade around me. So I retrained and I teach people to drive now, which is fine. I went through all my qualifications. I passed all those.
Yeah.
And I work quite local to where I live. And I earn decent money.
Yeah.
I'm my own boss. I don't work for anybody.
Yeah.
And it's good. But... Yeah. I've still got the light of fire in me for music. I always will have.
That's what I mean. You're getting the buzz, aren't you?
So I'm starting to get the buzz now.
Yeah.
Again, I'm really getting the buzz again, Dave.
Right.
I'm just enjoying what's going on at the moment. I went onto Facebook about 5-6 months ago, and I know I must be the last person in the world that went on Facebook, but you know, I'm now speaking to a lot of people all over the world that I haven't spoke to for years, and a lot of them thought I was dead. Some of the people were like, God.
Yeah.
And you know, finally, and I could keep going all night with records, but this is my last one, and this is the 21st. I've gone for the top 21 hits. Don't ask me why it's 21. Maybe because it's my age. Is that you laughing there, Ben? A record that, again, is a real soul special. Booker T. Jones and a track called The Best of You.
Right, yeah.
A real, like, finger clicky,
yeah,
soulful steppers groove.
Super.
Really, really lovely. You know, just so good.
All right, well, I've got to thank you, Dave.
Lovely.
Thank
Dave,
you very
it's
much.
It's been my pleasure. No, really enjoyed it tonight. Well, thank you.
Yeah, no.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
really,
no.
Really enjoyed it.
Fantastic. No, thank you very much, Dave. And we'll have to get out on a jolly at some point.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think the Dingwalls thing sounds a plan. You know, I better kind of get my pyjamas on and get myself ready for that one. No, that's good. Yeah. Lovely.
Cheers,
good
Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank
All
you.
The best.
Cheers.
Thanks, Dave.
Ever since I had your love, it's been moving me around. Beautiful feeling makes me high.
Gotta get the best of you, my baby.